Well, you know, Oprah might be our next president.
I have that as a backup topic just in case we run short.
She is eligible. She, remember we talked about eligibility?
Right. So she's at least 35 years of age.
Yep.
And
US
she was
citizen,
born in the United States?
Yep.
Okay.
So she is eligible.
Are you sure? Did you check her birth certificate?
I have not.
Okay. Then there's still a question there,
it's probably
right?
online somewhere.
It probably is.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Appoint Hillary as president because she had the majority of the votes. Yeah. I've heard that scenario played out seriously.
Wow.
You know, by somebody who's done their due diligence, their homework.
Really?
Yeah.
Somebody who's done their homework.
Yeah.
Wow.
Old Glory, Stars and Stripes, Red, White, and Blue, the A flag, the American flag, the flag that is flown above every rooftop to guide on, battleships, camps, forts, and FOPs. The American flag bears the crimson color of blood that has kept our flag as pure as the white bars that flank the blue field of honor. The Military Exchange is proud to present Valley Forge American-made flags. 100% American-made, real issue. We sell flags by the military branch, unit, or division. Army, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, National Guard, Marine Corps. We sell flag poles, mounts, and display cases. Show your pride. Display your branch proudly with a flag from Valley Forge. The Gadsden, Don't Tread on Me flag and decals. Perfect for the conservative New Yorker. Join the military culture that is the Military Exchange. Located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out our weekly video broadcast of our radio show at Iron Mike's.
Welcome back to hour two of Three Men and a Microphone, and this is the second part of our interview with President Tim Andrews from Scope. And the interview is already in progress.
Okay, so let me ask you, if you have a hunting license, okay, but you don't have any registered pistol permit or anything of that nature, can the government, the state of New York, come in and search your house without a warrant or anything of this nature?
Well, go back to the mental health requirements of the SAFE
right.
Act. Yes, they can.
They can.
If they suspect you have firearms and you've been reported under the mental health provisions.
Well,
of the
okay,
SAFE
they
Act,
know you have a firearm, right, because you have a
hunting license. Right.
Right?
It's presumed you would have one.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So that would give them just cause to come in and search your premises. And you suspect that would hold up in court?
Well, it hasn't truly been challenged all the way through the court system yet.
Right.
So we don't know.
We know
sure.
That would take a long time.
But we do know right now. The difference here is that you have no due process rights. In other words, they just arbitrarily show up at your door and take your guns. You don't get the right to go before a judge, and make your case as to why they shouldn't be allowed to take your firearms from you. By rights, if you're taking away a constitutional right of me, I should be able to appear before a judge and explain before a judge why that's wrong and why you should not be able to take my firearms. You have none of that. The firearms are taken away. Then later on, you can go through the court process, which could take 10 years or longer, thousands of dollars if you can afford that. And that's the other thing. There's going to be a lot of people who can't afford it. And how do they defend themselves?
Right. Now, does Scope have any type of legal assistance for people who are trying to, say, recover their firearms or?
Well, that's one of the issues. We can't provide legal advice or attorney help with an attorney. That's unfortunately something. It's just very expensive to do.
Okay.
And if we did it for one or two, we would have to do it for a lot of others, and it just gets very costly.
Okay.
We would rather get involved in cases that go to court in the repeals process, where we can try and get some of this stuff repealed down the line. We'll pick certain cases that are one, some are better than others,
right?
And try to work and repeal some of this in that process. But the initial process, it's just something that you know, any gun group, including the NRA, isn't going to be able to give somebody legal services if in fact they're caught up in this mess.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I know some of the, like, county sheriffs and like this have said that they're not going to do any enforcement of the SAFE Act.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing across the state from the various law enforcement agencies? Is it a mixed bag, or are you seeing pretty much a lot of compliance on the part of the law enforcement?
No. In terms of sheriffs in New York State overwhelmingly oppose this law.
Okay.
And most of them have said they're not going to use their resources to carry this out, and that remains to be seen, because that's probably going to be challenged in the courts too.
Okay.
But most sheriffs will tell you they'd rather, if the governor wants to push through on this, he really should use the state police to do it, and not sheriff's departments.
Okay. We have had one sheriff say that any law that's passed, he's obligated to enforce the law.
Right. The question is how much of their time and resources right. are going to put towards that, right?
Right.
So if you choose not to put a lot of time and resources right. into enforcing a particular law, does that mean you're not enforcing it? You know, that's where the question comes in, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Everything has to be funded, so.
Well, I have friends who are state troopers, and I guess from what they told me, that the New York State Troopers here in New York have, like, this big, I don't want to say an account, but money sitting to enforce this act, and they're not even going to even budge on it either.
Yeah, that remains to be seen. I think February 1st is going to be interesting.
Yeah, don't buy that.
If you look, you've got the county clerks throughout New York State. Are having a lot of trouble. Most county clerks in New York State are calling for this thing to be extended beyond
because they're having problems keeping up with right. processing the permits.
That's right. They see huge problems with this. They have called on the governor to extend this. We've heard nothing yet. It remains to be seen. It's only speculation on my part, but my belief is the governor's not going to extend it, because I think he's going to get out of this exactly what he intended to get out of it. He wants people not to recertify. That's my view. I have nothing that I could say to you or show to you that would prove that, but only time will tell. But I think I would be surprised if the governor extends that.
Could I just give a historic perspective, get closer to that?
Yes, sir.
Over time, the people that are employed in the Sheriff's Department and the State Department will be replaced. And sadly, the younger generation is being taught that the Second Amendment applies to militia, which has been translated to National Guard. So we have a futuristic problem that we have to address now. And in scope, the last two letters is political education.
Mm-hmm.
So my thoughts are younger people have to be better educated about our Second Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
So we can fight this in the classroom as well as in Albany.
And mm-hmm. that goes with our young military. They need to understand that they are oath keepers and that they need to understand what that really means, you know, when these laws are oppressed on us.
Yeah, and I think just to add on to that, we've got chapters down in Yates County. We've got chapters down in the southern tier, Lewis and Jefferson County chapters up north. They've all got programs going on now with schools. They've started shooting programs in schools, which goes a long way to addressing what you're talking
That's
about.
A good thing. Yeah.
Exactly. It's getting young people involved in the shooting sports, and from there the education begins. So And so we've got some chapters doing some things like that. And you're right. You go to a lot of scope meetings. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be 66 years old next month. We see too many gray-haired people at these meetings. You know, we need to see some younger folks there get involved in that same. So if you know younger folks out there, you have a chapter in your area, a scope chapter, attend your meetings. Get involved. It's your chapter, too.
Or if you use Menin. And you want to dye your hair. Something. Help us out with the cut with what it looks like.
Just for men.
Just for men.
Say that again.
I'm sorry.
FLCC has a huge conservation department there, and there's many, many, many kids there that go shoot. And I shoot trap and skeet and sporting clay at Rochester Brooks Gun Club. So.
Okay. Yeah. It's good. Need more of it.
That's great. Well, that's President Tim Andrews from Scope, and we appreciate you coming down and bringing us up to date. And can you tell everybody how to get a hold of you, your Facebook page, maybe contact information?
Yeah, actually, very soon, and if you go to the page now, it's our old website page was not very good. It was scopeny.org. Shortly, hopefully within the next week, we'll see a new Scope page launch. We'll be putting out more information. The web address will be the same,
scopeny.org.
But please don't judge us on the old one you see now. There will be a new one very shortly within the week coming out, and you're going to see it's going to be a page. It's going to have plenty of information on local chapters, what chapters are doing, voting in New York State, how to register, how to absentee ballot. You know, if you're not going to be around to vote in November, how you can register to buy absentee ballot and vote that way. So it'd be a wealth of information on there. So that would be one of our good sources for someone who wants to get more information on Scope.
Great. Thank you for coming in today.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
Armand, any passing words?
The only thing I want to say is that in about 4 weeks, we'll be on the Second Amendment because we are going through the U.S. Constitution article by article, and pretty soon we'll be on the First Amendment. But in about a month from now, if you'd like to come back and then give us some more information about here in Ontario County, you know, what we can do to get people more involved.
Might be great. That'd be great. So I want to just thank people again for turning on and tuning in.
That's great. And, of course, we'll see you on the flip side. Thank you, everybody, for our show today. And don't go on the ice until it freezes again.
Okay. That's it. All right. So.
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here, and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts? Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up. At Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
I came home on leave and everybody wants me to wear my uniform, but I'm missing my medals and I don't know where to go.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
The seatbelt ate my ribbons.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
I deploy in one day and the mail order place didn't get me my boots.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
My unit wants me to do an inspection when?
Iron Mike's has a PX.
We know! Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
Ribbons, unit patches, medals, shooting badges, rank and insignia, boots, socks, accus, even boot bands. Iron Mike's can even custom order dress hats and hard-to-find uniform pieces. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua and online at ironmikes.co.
This is Three Men and a Microphone, WOKR 1310, here in Canandaigua, New York. And this is our news reporter, our anchor, Michael Yarger, with Armin Marinetti, Melissa Walker, and myself, Corporal Tim Thorne.
Okay, and we talked about the hottest news, and the reason we say that is because this week our top story is that there was a structure fire in Canandaigua at Camelot Square. And the response was by Captain Don Phillips and Ben Kramer from the Canandaigua City Fire Department. They responded to this fire on January 6th, and they found a lot of smoke pouring out of a structure, out of an apartment. They were told that there was a woman and a dog trapped inside. Ben Kramer had a helmet cam on his helmet, and you could see him going into the structure. And what you're not able to see because of the thickness of the smoke is that he actually gets down on his hands and knees, which is what you're told to do when there's a fire, because the smoke rises, so you've got better visibility if you're down lower. So he crawled around, he found the dog, he got the dog out of there, he found the person. The person was in a wheelchair. She's a 300-pound woman. And there's only two firemen there at the scene to rescue this woman. And Ben got her over to the window, and they lifted her out of her apartment and got her out, got her medically treated. I believe she's been released from the hospital now. She's doing fine. And Ben Kramer and Don Phillips are to be applauded for their heroic life-saving efforts. Were they not there, this woman most likely would have expired. So we have this story, and I'm telling you, it's playing big time on Canandaigua 2020 because of the video that goes along with it. And then all the firefighters, or it seems like all the firefighters, are on there talking about how the city stripped the fire department of a lot of their personnel and how unsafe it is for these firefighters to be going into these structures, because you're supposed to have two in and two out when you enter a building. So you've got two guys going in together, so if something happens to one of the guys, the other guys can help immediately. And then two outside who are posed to go in the event that something serious occurs. So we don't have the staffing for that, and there's a lot of criticism from the members of the fire department about it creating an unsafe situation for the firefighters.
How's the dog?
The dog made it.
Dog's doing good, too.
Dog's doing fine.
And the lady, of course.
Right.
What about the firemen? Are they okay?
They're all fine. Right? And so then we find out on January 9th, it's announced that members of the executive board of the union representing the professional Canandaigua firefighters have been disciplined after endorsing two candidates for public office in the fall election. And they were Captain Jay Bach, Captain Sam Liacono, and Ben Kramer, the one who saved this woman's life. They were issued reprimands on November 14th by City Manager John Goodwin. Now, the city's policy prevents city employees from speaking with council members on topics related to their departments. The thing is, they weren't talking to council members. They were talking to people who were running for city council. Now, a directive issued on October 11th by John Goodwin indicated that that included candidates for council. But the question is, does a directive from a city manager have any authority in a situation like this? I mean, you're trampling on the free speech rights of individuals. And I seriously question the legality, and I believe that's what's happening here, is that the union is questioning the legality of the city manager to say that this would apply to a candidate for city council. Armin's got his hand up. Let's see what he has to say.
Who elected John Goodwin?
Nobody. John's position is an appointed position.
Now, I've heard from people that ran for city council that one of the motivating factors was what was going on in the fire department.
That was a very hot topic in this past year's election.
So the person won. And
well, actually, two of the people who ran in favor of strengthening the fire department won election this year.
Good, good. So I've always tried to look at the bigger picture. Why would our city want to do anything that might weaken the potential of saving a life because of a fire?
Money.
So money over man.
Yes. And that's basically what it came down to when they stripped the fire department of their personnel.
That's shameful?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Okay.
You know, and I bring an example right behind the store when they had the VA fire, right? The Canandaigua Fire Company, which is right here in the corner, was right down the road, you know, 50 more feet first. But they didn't have enough people to man the equipment. So they had to wait till the VA from Fort Hill all the way down came all the way over.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you have two fire departments in one city and you don't have enough people to man a call? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you rely on your volunteer guys, but you berate them. You don't treat them right. That's the word that I get. They're not being treated right. So how hard is it to get the volunteer guys to keep showing up, to keep joining?
Well,
there's other fire departments you can do your time with.
Tim, you said money is the issue, and my question that rolls around in my silly little head is that if we didn't have layer after layer of administration pushing paper, maybe there'd be money for people to stop fires.
Wow, isn't that interesting? Because at the very last city council election or city council meeting, which happened to be the first one of the year, one of the steps that city council took was to create a new position in the city of Canandaigua for an assistant city manager, right? And the assistant city manager, I stood up and I said, I've been opposed to this, not because of the person that they want to put in this position. I was opposed to it back when John Goodwin was the assistant city manager, because I believe we have too much administration at the top of the city and not enough people like the firefighters to fight these fires. But the city would rather create more administration, more positions for administration, and forget about the safety of the citizens. And I believe that's wrong. I think history, unfortunately, is probably going to prove me right. But it's on the minds and conscience of the people. And I have to say, it was unanimous. Even the people who supported additional firefighters also voted in favor of this it was a new administrative position, but was new only in the sense that they changed it from being a competitive position to a non-competitive position. And that was a civil service change. So that's what made it a new position. So this also brought up the topic of whether landlords are required to provide fire extinguishers inside apartments. Okay, and according to local and county New York State law, there is no requirement on the part of landlords to put fire extinguishers inside apartments. Now, there's nothing that prevents any tenant from providing their own fire extinguisher, or if you have a conscientious landlord, such as myself, I have fire extinguishers right next to the door where you enter the apartment, and if a tenant is able to fight a fire, I encourage them to do so. But if they, you know, if the fire's out of hand, I don't want my tenants getting injured. I want them to save their life first, get out of the building, but it's there in case the tenants want to use it. Now, I know a lot of landlords have tried this in the past. They've had young tenants maybe who come along and pull the pin and fire the things off when it's unnecessary, playing around with the equipment, things of that nature. You know, we've had that problem as well, but I still provide them. I charge the tenants if they use it in a situation where it's not suitable. But I believe that you're better off having that equipment available than not having it available. And I have a historic structure on Main Street in Canandaigua. And you can drive down Main Street and you could see, just looking at the buildings, where there's been major fires on Main Street. Because you'll see modern buildings like the W.T. Grant building, which most recently has been Simco, right? And now it's a flooring store. That building doesn't look like the rest of the buildings on Main Street. And the reason is there was a major fire there. There used to be a church on that corner. That church burned down, and then in the 1960s, that building was built, and it housed W.T. Grant's originally. But you could drive right down Main Street, and you could pick out which are the historic buildings and which are the ones which are more modern. And you know that the more modern ones are there because fires destroyed the old historic structures.
We just recently had a policy change here that I noticed. It's always been my responsibility, and the fire department inspects, I think, every 3 years, and I have to keep the building up to code, and I have to provide two fire extinguishers plus a smoke detector and a there's another kind of detector.
Carbon monoxide detector.
Which we don't have no problem doing. I mean, why would I not want to do stuff, right?
Right.
But just recently, and I didn't know this, but the extinguisher company came in at the behest of my landlord and said, I'm here to check your fire extinguisher, and he's paying it. And I said, oh, well, okay, but I've already, you know, you did the upgrade a couple years ago, and so you're doing the upgrade now, but now I'm not paying the bill.
Right.
But if I was a landlord, I would probably want to be responsible enough to supply the fire extinguisher. Why would you want to rely on your tenant? You know, because if they don't do it, then they have nothing to fight
with. Right.
And so, they're a lot of fun at parties. If you watch the action movies, they're always used as a weapon. I mean, how can you not want to have a fire extinguisher?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm so behind the times. I really am.
So Armand earlier was talking about ruses, and we know Kent Fletcher has become somewhat notorious with his Canandaigua Onion for pulling ruses on Canandaigua 2020. Well, he's got a little competition now. Denise Baylor posted a story about how she had gone to a gas station to get gas. She went in to pay for her gas and get a cup of coffee, and when she pulled up, she noticed that there was a woman there pumping gas and smoking a cigarette. And she saw a cop standing right there close by watching the woman, and the cop wasn't doing anything. So she went in, she was paying for her stuff, and she starts hearing screaming. She looks out the window, she sees this woman, her arm is on fire. And she's waving it around, and the cop is running over. He knocks her down. He puts the fire out, and he puts her in handcuffs and takes her away. And as he's taking her away, the woman comes out and says, "Why are you arresting her?" And he says, "I'm charging her with waving a firearm."
He came up with all of that?
I'm telling you, Denise is serious competition for Kent.
Oh, so Denise wrote this.
Right. Denise wrote and shared this on Canandaigua 2020. And, of course, a lot of people, you're reading this, you're thinking, wow, this is a true story. Because we can picture this happening. Probably many of us have seen it happen, right, where somebody's standing there smoking as they're gassing up their car.
Well, I had a problem with the last guy when they discovered at Sonnenberg Gardens, in the Asian house, the old World War II Japanese guy that Ken wrote about.
Okay.
How they discovered him after all these years from World War II. He's been hiding out. Well, he came in here and sold off his gear. That's why I got a new Japanese helmet.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, we buy, sell, and trade at Iron Mike's.
Hey, I don't know if you heard this, but the Victor Chamber is seeking nominations for Women of Excellence, and I applaud that. However, Jeff Smith wants to know when the Men of Excellence nominations are going to be.
Never.
Right.
Right?
Yep. Three men and a microphone.
There's three men here. I haven't done excellent in anything since I can remember.
Because that's my wife.
That's right.
She'll tell you.
Yeah. Right. So, Cindy Wallace wants to know if folks would delay taking down their holiday lights. She wants to rename them winter lights and keep them up until the spring. Okay, I'm not opposed to that. I don't mind driving around and see people's holiday lights still up.
They leave them on to the end of winter anyways. Who's going to
check through the snow? Well, some people do, but not many.
Climb on the roof and take
all
that stuff
off. Okay, so we just had a 50-plus degree day where it was very nice out, and I'm sure on that day a lot of people took down their lights and, you know, put them away for the season. So
it's funny you should mention that, because just last night I looked out of a window and down the street, there's kids, young kids live down the street, and the lights are still on, and it was really pretty.
No, I noticed it, too. I saw some tree by the road. It was full of Christmas lights, and I'm like, well, you know, it's after Christmas, but it looks nice, especially in this time of year when it's darker earlier.
Right, exactly.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, me too. The more light, the better, I think.
I'll start running my Christmas ads in August.
Well,
just to help, just to go along with the winter lights.
Just with the way things are going, huh?
About to wait till 9:30. Hey, guys, come on in.
Okay, so our next story was shared by Jeanette Dunkel from a Finger Lakes One post. And it turns out there was a hidden recording device that was found inside a bathroom at Thompson Hospital. It was found by employees, and a police investigation has been underway for weeks. But it was not publicized that this was found. So some people are criticizing the fact that the police have been keeping this under wraps. But apparently what they were hoping was that the person would return and attempt to retrieve this recording device. They're not saying what the device was or anything of that nature, other than it was found rather quickly, they believe, by an employee, and security was alerted and the city police were alerted.
Oh, this is the camera or recording device in the Thompson Hospital bathroom.
Correct.
The unisex bathroom.
Right, it was a unisex bathroom.
Did they decide whether it was a camera or just a recording audio?
Yeah, all it said was recording device. They haven't identified what the device is.
You know, I got to say, from a guy who is willing to go to images on Google and nothing more in my life, if I want to look at, you know, Jennifer Aniston, for example, I have no desire to see you go to the bathroom. None. And I don't understand that. That's gross.
Yeah.
I hope they catch the guy, girl, whoever, right?
Yeah, we don't know who it is, right?
I know. Shotzi's offended, too. Don't I turn around when you go?
So these are Kodak moments, right? And a story broke this week that Kodak is going to get into the cryptocurrency market. And they're coming out with Kodak Coin. Thoughts, Armin?
I'm confused. I really am, because I heard the story, and I'm trying to think, okay, it's supposed to be a way for people to get paid for their photography quickly. And it doubled the price per share of Kodak stock. And I'm saying, is there that many people out there selling pictures? I don't know. But in a future life, or future, past life, I did some financial work. And I don't see the buzz. I really don't.
Right. Right. So there's a lot of concern about this cryptocurrency. Of course, Bitcoin is the one that we all kind of know about, although it's very hard to understand exactly what it is, because all it is floating out there in the air somewhere. There is no actual coin. But given Kodak's track record of success in their most recent endeavors, I would be very reluctant to become an investor in this project. So moving on, we have a very popular story. Patrick Gleason this week is reporting that he recently sold his business in Rochester, and he wants to know the type of business that we'd want to see in Canandaigua. So what do you guys think? What would you like to see?
In Canandaigua?
In Canandaigua.
Oh,
what type of business?
Shop.
What is it?
We
another
more,
pizza shop?
Yeah.
We don't have enough of those.
12, 13 of them at least.
Right, right.
Yeah. Listen,
IKEA.
Wait.
Okay.
More car
okay.
dealerships.
Time out.
That'll decorate 332
IKEA,
well.
The
IKEA is furniture. Yeah, breakdown furniture.
Tim, you just stepped on my toes. You didn't even know it. You just
what the heck is IKEA breakdown furniture?
Oh, it's foreign.
Oh, we need more foreign furniture. Of course we do.
I made that up. Swedish. I made it up. But I got to tell you, when you said that about the pizzas, many, many years ago, I owned a building in Fairport. And my dad and I were dividing the building to sublease part of it, and guys in suits showed up with briefcases. I didn't know who they were. They were from Pizza Hut Corporation.
Really?
They wanted to know if we'd rent that space to them for a delivery Pizza Hut only delivery, no indoor seating. Huh? So we signed a lease agreement. The village of Fairport would not grant permission for another pizza place in the village of Fairport. And the question that went through my mind is, why is that up to people on a village board to decide? Whatever happened to the open marketplace? If you got a good pizza product.
Well, it happened to free enterprise.
Correct. You're going to survive. It's not up to five people on a board to decide what pizza places are going to be in your village, to the point where even the mayor of the village of Fairport was going door to door with a petition saying, we don't want another pizza place in the village of Fairport.
They don't want Pizza Hut.
Well, that's not what
people.
They said, because they're smart enough to know you can't say that. They didn't want a pizza place. We've got enough pizza places. And after 6 months, Pizza Hut went into the town of Perrington on 250 and 31 and said, they gave up.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely with you. Let the market fall. You know,
let the market determine who the winners and losers are.
They're not going to stop another Army Navy store from moving next door to me. They don't care.
Yeah.
Now, my landlord might not want to rent to another one, right? But he's the only other guy that's going to be on my side.
That's because you ruined it for everybody else.
I welcome the competition. Mm-hmm. That's not true.
Competition
if you're really big, stay away, please. I don't want it.
Okay.
Sorry.
So the top two categories that people would like to see in Canandaigua turned out to be children's entertainment. They'd like things like Doug and Buster's, okay, or something along those lines where you can go and take your kids and have parties, you know, birthday parties for kids, things of that nature, just something to entertain the kids. And the other category was various eating establishments, because we don't have enough restaurants in Canandaigua. Top eating establishments desired turned out to be Chick-fil-A, Perkins, and Barbecue. Okay, now we did have a barbecue, Smoke Man Barbecue, out on East Lake Road, which was there for a period of time, did very good business, but they've shut down. So I don't know what the chances of getting another barbecue establishment in Canandaigua might be. Perkins used to be very hot in the area for a long time. All the ones in New York State that I'm aware of have shut down. So, but you go down to Pennsylvania, just right across the border, you start seeing Perkins all along. So, you know, there's a possibility that may someday come back. And I believe Chick-fil-A is going to be opening their first location in New York State up in Greece.
Did you know that Rochester or upstate New York, Rochester, is one of the best test grounds for any restaurant chain at all. It's known for this. And if you can make it here,
you can make it anywhere, huh?
Anywhere.
That sounds familiar.
And if you want to see any of your old-time hit parade favorites, just go down to Florida and drive around, and you'll see every restaurant you would never. Church's Fried Chicken still down there.
Perkins is still down there.
Everybody's in Florida.
Yep.
And they have no problem staying afloat.
Right. Now, it's interesting, too, that this week we found out that the Walmart spinoff, right? I'm trying to think of what the name of it is.
Sam's Club?
Sam's Club.
Oh, sure.
They have two locations up in Rochester. Both of them are going to be shut down, I believe, sometime around the 24th. No, they shut down the one for a day, okay? But it was supposed to be reopening today, but only until, like, March 24th. And then they'll be permanently gone.
Well, my inside source said the people showed up, no one contacted them, found a note on the door, go home.
Right.
And this is and just that was, after that,
That was a one-day closure because that was the date that they were making the announcement that they were going to be closing.
Well, that's right after Walmart sent a big Facebook push out there that they're raising everybody's pay to $11 and they're giving employees $1,000 bonuses.
Right.
Well, sure. You just how many people you just put out of work at Sam's Club?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, this minimum wage thing is going to have its effects. People are talking about McDonald's. Well, McDonald's has an answer for that. It's called automation. Sure, there will be some people that are going to get your $15 an hour, but you're going to lose 10 more people to automation. Keep going, guys. You're doing a bang-up job. I can sweep the floor by myself.
Well.
To at least right now I can.
Yeah. Or someday you might need to get some donations from the Salvation Army or something like that. And if that occurs...
Well, I could put a fake box up and just steal them.
Well, and that's kind of what's been going on here. Because our... Eric Schneiderman, our New York State Attorney...
Comptroller, isn't it?
Or is Attorney General. Okay. He came out with a new rule over these donation bins. There's over 4,700 of them in New York State. And these bins must now disclose if the items being donated are used for charitable purposes or for-profit purposes. The bins have to be labeled with the name of the company, the physical address of the company, the phone number of the company, and the website of the bin owner. It must also have contact information for the Attorney General's office. So if you want to file a complaint, the information for the Attorney General's office is right there on the bin.
Is that picture, Mike, that someone posted earlier this week of just a huge pile of clothes outside of all the bins because the bins are full and no one's picking them up?
Right, this is down in Parkway Plaza. Yes.
That's a real picture?
Yes, that's a legitimate picture. This is what happens. Yeah. In our area, people are extremely generous. They really are. And so our bins get used a lot. And sometimes people go to a location where they know there's bins located, and the bins are just full. And on some occasions, the people will take the stuff out of their car and just leave it sitting there next to the bins. And they really ought not do that.
Right.
But the further requirements are that the bins cannot be on public property, and they're required to be emptied regularly. So in the situation down in Parkway Plaza where you've got overflowing bins, you can contact the Attorney General whose number will be on that bin and say, hey, these aren't being picked up regularly and, you know, something needs to be done. And all this is in response to a for-profit company from Yonkers named Thriftland, and they operated over 1,100 collection bins. Now, we said there's over 4,700, meaning they had about 25% of all the bins in New York State. And they had on their bins plastered a charity logo who supposedly was getting these funds. But in fact, the funds were not going to this charity. It was going to this for-profit company. And so there was some ruse, as we said, going on. And the Attorney General has addressed that.
Isn't ruse something that you put on your cheeks?
Rouge. Rouge.
You don't need it. Your cheeks are red.
I got the...
Yeah.
You're rosy.
I've had too much to drink Irish cheek look.
I didn't say that.
So, you guys ready to do a polar plunge?
Never.
My never.
Heart would stop.
Never.
I would be under the water.
Come on.
Under
not
the
even,
ice.
Not even for those kids for Special Olympics?
Oh, Mike.
Come on.
Tim. I have a soft spot in my heart. Soft spot in my heart
For kids, right?
Yeah. Especially then.
Yeah. So the polar plunge is actually going to be returning to the city of Canandaigua and Kershaw Park. It used to be held there, and in recent years, because of the high cost of running the event in Kershaw, they moved it down to the town and Onanda Park. But they've kind of outgrown Onanda Park, so they've worked out an agreement with the city of Canandaigua to bring the event back to Kershaw Park. So the date is going to be March 24th. Write this down, Tim. March 24th from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. And no, you don't have to stay in the water all those hours.
What should I wear?
Well, that's the fun part, Tim. People wear all kinds of things. So
I can see you in one of those old-fashioned men's bathing suits with the straps and then the legs come down to your knees. You know what I'm talking about?
Mike still has a pair.
Yeah, I can see you.
Those are my regulars.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of news this week also about the dog park. I know that's a favorite topic with Tim. He can't wait to take Shotzi to the dog park and introduce him to all these other dogs. So the Friends of Canandaigua Canine Campus Dog Park Advisory Committee submitted their recommendations to City Council. Now, again, this is an advisory committee that was formed by the City of Canandaigua for how should we run this dog park. And the dog park people put together their recommendations and then submitted them now back to the city. So it's up to the City Council to determine whether they want to follow these recommendations or make changes to these recommendations. But it's back in the hands of City Council right now. And the only request they made was that city officials officially name this park the Canandaigua Canine Campus for fundraising purposes, right? Now, most parks, like Sonnenberg Park, Baker Park, you don't have anybody from the public raising funds for these parks. But this committee has agreed to try to pick up half the cost of the construction of this park. And then right now the estimate is around $150,000. So they're attempting to raise about $75,000 to go towards these construction costs. Now, you might think, well, that's a huge amount of money to raise. Believe it or not, they've already raised half of that. So,
is it safe to say that this park is going to the dogs?
It's safe to say that, yes. Now,
you know,
won't get in trouble for that?
No.
Well, I was just going to say, speaking of picking up the cost, I'd like to thank my neighbors next door for allowing their dog to crap in front of my truck on a corner of the parking lot and leaving it there, because I know Shotzi only craps at home, like my other dog. They only crap one place, it's at home, and I would pick it up.
This show's going into the toilet.
So, yeah, it is.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, neighbors on top of
okay, so the dog park is actually supposed to be located across the street from the Canandaigua Wine Company down on Buffalo Street. Mm-hmm. If you know where those railroad tracks are, if you're looking to the south, the Messenger is going to be over on the left-hand side. The wine company is going to be at your back. And to the right of that is a small apartment complex. And just to the right of that is going to be a driveway that goes back into a vacant lot. And that vacant lot kind of attaches to where the railroad tracks are. So that's where the dog park is going to be located. I think it's a great location for the dog park. And I got to tell you, these people who are friends of the Canandaigua Canine Campus, they really are doing an excellent job. They also have another fundraiser coming up, and it happens to be called Going to the Dogs Fundraiser. And it's a juried animal-themed art exhibit. Okay?
Jerry. Geriatric?
No, juried.
Juried.
Somebody's
going to
judge. In other words, there's going to be a jury, judge.
A judge, yeah.
Okay? The artists have until February 16th to submit their art pieces. And they could be 2D, 3D, whatever, right? Paintings, photos, ceramics, whatever. But they have to be animal-themed, okay? Then they're going to be exhibited from April 1st to the 28th at Hope in Art Studio down on Mill Street. And then the proceeds from the sale of these artworks will support the construction of the dog park. So we wish them all the luck on that kind of thing. We also have another fundraiser coming up. On Monday, January 15th, the Canandaigua Cheerleaders are holding a fundraiser at Tom Wall's from 4:30 to 8:30. So, Tim, this coming Monday, you're going to plan on having your dinner at Tom Wall's.
Where there's cheerleaders.
Where there's cheerleaders. They'll be there cheering you on as you eat your burger.
Yeah, that's right? probably not going to happen. But,
okay.
But go Braves.
15% of the purchase will go towards Candego Cheer. Now, you have to have one of their certificates at the time that you purchase it so that 15% of the proceeds will go to them and not into the pockets of Tom Wall's.
God forbid. Well, you're, at least you're buying Tom Wall's food.
Well, I like Tom Wall's. I like Bill Gray's. I mean, it's good food.
Make sure nobody profits on these things.
Okay. So I had the pleasure of attending the Environmental Parks Committee meeting this past Tuesday, January 9th. And this was the first committee meeting of the year. Now, as you know, they have four different committees that usually meet, sometimes five. They meet once a month. So this is the first one of, I don't know how many I'll probably be attending, probably 50 I'll be attending this year. The Environmental Parks Committee has a new chair. She's not new to council. It's Karen White. And I have to say she did an excellent job moderating this meeting. The meetings are being held in the Wood Library, where they used to be in the Hurley Building. But the Hurley Building is going to be undergoing construction this year. So all these committee meetings, they're trying to get them worked into the library schedule. So instead of going to the Hurley Building for your committee meetings, you're going to be heading over to the library. And it must be fairly well publicized because there was a very good turnout for the people who showed up for this meeting. And in addition to the Polar Plunge, that they discussed and the dog park, they also talked about community choice aggregation. Now you're saying, what the heck? I mean, this is what I was saying to myself. What the heck is community choice aggregation? Well, it turns out the Public Service Commission has made a change to their rules, and it allows municipalities to select a default energy supplier. So right now, the default energy supplier in like RG&E territory is RG&E. In NYSEG territory, it's NYSEG. But down in Westchester, they ran a pilot project, and there was an organization that put together a whole bunch of consumers and in the municipality. So municipality got to choose who the default ESCO. And ESCOs are energy service companies. Okay, so we all usually have gotten phone calls from these ESCOs saying, you know, instead of getting your power from RG&E and NYSEG, get your power from us because it'll be cheaper. And a lot of us who fell for that found out, well, gee, it hasn't been cheaper. So the plan here is to have the municipalities join together. So Canandaigua might join with Geneva, might join with Avon, might join with Victor, might join with Rochester, and they want to get a huge number of people who all agree to have this particular ESCO be the default in place of RG&E, right? Now, the folks from City Council seem eager enough to at least have them come back. But again, I have real problems with this, and one of the questions I ask are you guaranteeing that whatever rate you negotiate is going to be a lower rate than what we currently get? And the answer to that was, oh, yes, we're going to negotiate it, and we're going to lock your rate in for a period of time, probably 3 years. Well, the problem with that is electricity rates go up and down. If you're locked in and rates go down, then you're not going to be getting the cheapest. Well, the response to that was, well, you could back out from us, you know, and choose a different supplier. But then you're not guaranteeing that we're getting the lowest rate. So you're asking municipalities to do a whole lot of work to try to negotiate something that's not even guaranteeing that you're going to get the lowest rate.
You know, we should just be able to get a decent rate from our own municipality company, because these companies aren't going to put in new lines or new any infrastructure. They're just right. going to steal it from our G&E.
Right. Well, anyways. Everybody uses or the nice same thing. Lines, right? We all use the same distribution channel. The only question is, who are we contracting with to get that energy from? And basically what it is you're contracting with an administration company, right? Somebody who administers.
Well, there should be buying power if you're a bigger buying group.
You would think,
but
right?
if they're not going to give it to you, or it's only given to you for 3 years.
Or why would they give it to you?
It's what's the bargain there?
Right, right.
Didn't they have a problem last time when they were going around door to door? Like, some of the people were pretty sketchy, and they were questioning if they were actually working for these companies or not.
Right. So in the city of Canandaigua, you actually have to have a permit to do door-to-door solicitation. And you have to give the name of your company. You have to give a description of the vehicle that you're driving around in. You have to give the name of the employees who are going door-to-door. And what happened was a lot of these door-to-door solicitors for the ESCO companies weren't bothering to register with the city. So they were bothering and hassling people, trying to force their ways in, trying to insist that people had to give them copies of their utility bills, none of which was true.
Why don't you just do what I do in Watchtower or somebody shows up? I just answer.
Yeah, you show up the door naked. We know this.
They don't stay.
No kidding. I wouldn't stay either, Tim.
I don't stay. You're here for the party.
Well, we have a... Is that the end of it?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the end? Sorry. Thank you for listening to Three Men and a Microphone. With our segments of Civil War Radio, our interview with Scope, and starting next week, Scope will now be a permanent segment on Three Men and a Microphone during the Civil War Radio part from 8 to 9. And if they want to hang around, they can be on the whole 2 hours. Three Men and a Microphone plays every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., but it also does an encore performance every Sunday afternoon, 2 to 4. And you can always catch our show at WOKR 1310 under the link to Three Men and a Microphone. Thank you very much for listening, and we hope you're all safe this weekend. God bless, and we'll see you on the flip side.
And now, a moment of bliss, courtesy of Iron Mike's Military Exchange and Camping Supply.
My Wooby, you swept me off my feet and put into my heart such fiery heat. At first sight, I would not have known the kind of warmth and protection I'd be shown. You've helped me through the good and bad. For being issued you, I am so glad. You are my warmth and soulmate, and we both know that it's fate. Forever, I will hold you tight. Because of you, I know I'll never be cold. I'm yours, and you are mine. Forever and ever, we'll be just fine. And on the eighth day, God created the poncho liner, and the infantry was very thankful.
The American-made military-issue poncho liner, available in assorted colors along with the USGI poncho to create a ranger bag. Available at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, Route 332, Canandaigua. Visit online at ironmikes.com.
Tactical to practical. Cold weather clothing and gear at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Polypro cold weather masks, long underwear, gloves, boots, socks, caps, parkas, and field jackets on sale now at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua. The Military Talk Show, IronMikesMX.com. Call us at 394-2960.
Iron Mike's Military Exchange. Iron Mike's is located in Canandaigua, New York. The Military Exchange is locked and loaded with military gear and merchandise currently being used by our armed forces. The Military Exchange is an excellent source for all your hunting, camping, and outdoor needs. Iron Mike's is proud to stock items for our active and reserve military personnel, Boy Scouts, Civil Air Patrol, Sea Cadets, Airsoft, campers, backpackers, and survivalists. Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Check them out online at...
Clerico, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Duro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been up? Welcome!
enlisted and officers, WMs and Devil Dogs, I, Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 in Laurel Cigar Lounge, fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hickory Motto Cigars, here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out.